It is a wonderful Sunday, this Sunday after Easter. You know, throughout much of the church, this is called Low Sunday because it is the lowest church attendance of the entire year, but not at Pinnacle. How wonderful is that? One of the many things that I personally love about this congregation is that we have a worshiping congregation throughout the year, even in the doldrums of heat of the summer when there's nobody in Scottsdale anymore. We still gather in this place for worship. And this day, we chose for calendar reasons because of how Lent worked and Easter worked this year, and this seemed to be the Sunday to have our choir appreciation Sunday. And so Scripture was chosen for this particular event. And if you've been listening, you probably got the theme from the prelude all the way through now, Sing to the Lord a New Song, even with a special new song presented here even today. But you know, you also heard a story of a post-Easter event and resurrection appearance of Jesus from the Gospel of John. But those two themes seem to work so well together, because in many ways, Easter is God's new song for all that is, God's new song among us in the resurrection. Psalm 96 is chosen, but Psalm 96 is only one of many psalms in which a new song is spoken about. In fact, of all of the times in all of the psalms being the hymnal, the hymn book of Scripture, in all of the times that the word song appears, more than a third of those times, the song is new. Which tells me that even ancient Israel, people were arguing about whether to sing the old hymns or the new hymns. Even then, there was this rhythm between what was familiar and known and what was new and unexpected and surprising in the life of God's people. Even then, as even now, the rhythm of faith is the faith is the rhythm between what we know and what we do not yet know. And in that rhythm, we find the life of expectation that we call the Christian gospel. So in Psalm 96, I want to take a look at that today. If you care to, you're welcome to find the Bible in your pew and open the Bible to Psalm 96. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you from it. But in that Psalm 96, I hear a sweep of both why we attempt to sing new songs and how we're called to sing them. Don't let anyone tell you that religion is simply about preserving the status quo or reassuring people in times of conflict in which they face things they cannot change, like an opiate for the people. It is not. For those who would say that religion is simply about giving refuge have not heard the cries of the psalmists. They've not heard Jeremiah in front of the people. They've not heard Jesus as he weeps for Jerusalem, that there might be something new. There might be something new. Why? Because God has a new song. God has a new vision for all people. And God has a new song, a new vision for all creation. And God has a new song, a new vision for all time. A new song for all people. Listen to the third verse of just this psalm. Declare God's glory among the nations, God's marvelous works among God's peoples. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made heavens. Honor and majesty are before God. Strength and beauty are in God's sanctuary. God will judge the peoples with equity. At the core of the Reformed faith that we claim is an idea of the sovereignty of God over, in, and through all things. There is no place, there is no time, there is no experience that is God forsaken. God is already there, always healing, always waiting, always preparing, always ready to surprise us if we can just turn our head and catch the surprise. So our faith is not a place of stasis, is not a static place, but an active one. The church itself is kind of a laboratory, don't you think? It's a salon of conversation. It's a place where everything that's going on in the world should have a place, should have an ear. We should see it and know it, acknowledge it, and speak about it differently. Because we embrace and see and know and acknowledge and attend to the world around us in the context of the hope we claim that God will, can, and does sing a new song. There's always possibility for change in the face of God. And so we hear in this psalm that God also has a new song for all creation. Verse 11 and 12. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. God is the God of all creation, not just our own. So we are called to discover God in our own lives and live out a calling to love and peace and reconciliation, to seek forgiveness, to confess our brokenness, to live as ever new people. And yet we are also called in doing that to walk decently within all of creation. Yes, the earth is the Lord's. All creation is God's, given to us to tend carefully and respectfully, to not exploit or abuse, but to live with and in, because God is the God of all creation, and all creation is called to sing God's praise. And so God also has a new song for all time. Listen to verses 12 and 13. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy, as you've heard, for God is coming to judge the earth. God will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with God's truth. God's judgment is our hope. God's righteousness is the tool with which God judges all that is. And God's righteousness is one that carries and bears our brokenness and therefore forgives us. God's mercy is God's judgment on all that is and all that happens. And so we live in this movement back and forth between what we see and what we know in our deep belief is yet to come. We live because of what is to come, which changes what is. Trusting the witness of Scripture and our tradition and the peoples who have known God, that God is yet to complete what God has already done. God is yet to complete what God has already done. God is yet to wrap the world in mercy and love, even though God already has, in the resurrection, the foretaste of the kingdom. God is yet to do what God has already done. And therefore, we are not a people without hope in any experience of our lives. We are never a people without hope. Because God has already healed us. God has already forgiven. God has already given us a future. God has already cared and shaped and protected us. Therefore, never live as a person without hope. So how do we do this? It's also in the psalm right there. Verse 7, 8, and 9. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. We live this great hope in all that we do to worship. In all that we do, not just here, but throughout the world. We are connected to people who worship by stamping their feet or clapping their fingers or with electronic drums and guitars or with grand organ music and beautiful bells and choruses that are sung in three-part gospel harmony without written music or compositions that are written to the finest exactitude, with sermons that are given in street clothes and a handkerchief to dab the the sweat off the brow or formally written and reprinted from the pulpit with words of prayer that are given in tongues that we do not understand and words of prayer that are given in clear silence. We worship with all those who in their work and their life and their gathering with God's people seek to know their hope by ascribing worth to God, which is our work of worship. And so we also live in this hope through crafting our message. Say among the nations, the Lord is sovereign. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. God will judge the peoples with equity. So too, in our mission, in our day-to-day work, in our education, the purpose of it all, even when we fail it, is to have a clear and simple message. God is alive. We don't fully understand it. We seek to wrestle with it in every way through scripture and study and prayer. We seek to discover God alive in the world around us as we go out into the world to show compassion and to spread the message. And through it all, the message remains simple. God is alive. And that matters. So, we finally live this message of hope in spirit, in good spirit. There is a confidence that runs through this psalm that we can sing in our songs today with the psalmist, that a new song has been sung, it has been written on our hearts, and we can sing it. We will sing it because of God's promise to us. Amen.